They all had terrible internal injuries, such as had not been seen in Europe, America, or Australia since the 19th century. Here, these were endemic, owing to the malnutrition that meant the bodies of Ethiopian girls remained small. The attitude of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which encouraged child marriage to keep girls virtuous, they insisted, only made things worse, as did the lack of obstetric care, especially in rural areas. Betrothed at 8 or 9, girls would find themselves pregnant in their early teens. When they went into labour, sometimes with no one to help but a wargesha, a village doctor, offering a potion made of herbs, it went on and on. There was nothing to do but squat and push, often for 5 or 6 days. If the fetus did not survive, the only reason the mother could eventually deliver was because babies get smaller when they are dead. But then, as she discovered, the mother wakes up to an even greater horror. Her bed is soaked and stinks. Her protracted labour has left her so badly injured that her vagina has ruptured, her bladder is shredded, her rectum torn. Urine and faeces leak out of her without cease. Soon her husband leaves her. Her family and her village community turn their backs on her. She lies on her bed, her legs drawn up to her chin to try to stem the flow. Shame is her only company. The Hamlins would sit up late into the night in their little mud-built house in the hospital grounds, studying the history of obstetric fistula, as these injuries were known, which was first written about in 1550 BC. They went over the evolution of the treatment, rereading the autobiography of Marion Sims, who in the 1850s had treated similar injuries among American slave women.